Okay, so the parsha opens up. Vayidalki Moshe ve'olav ani Hashem Havaya. Right, Elohim says to Moshe, and he says to him, I am Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. Vayera Avram Yitzhak Yaakov bekel Shakai, Ushmi Havaya, lo nedatem. I appeared to Avram Yitzhak and Yaakov with the divine name Kel Shakai, and my name is Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, and that name, I was not known to them. All right, so Rashi explains that I am Havaya, I am Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, that's already written in the first pasuk, right, is I am trustworthy to bestow the reward, good reward to those who walk in, you know, before me, I am my ways, right, and I'm sending you to uphold the promise I made to the forefathers. And Rashi goes on to say that we always find that this is the way that Chazal understand when God ends off a statement, Ani Hashem, I am Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, you can trust me that I'm going to pay you what you deserve, be it for, you know, good reward for the mitzvah you've done, or punishment, I'll catch up with you and I'll punish you. All right? So over here I'm going to fulfill the promise that I promised the others, and you're going to see I'm going to fulfill, and that's what the connection over here. And Rashi goes on to further explain that when I appeared to the others with the name Kel Shakai, I promised them with that name, right, Kel Shakai, and I used that name because I didn't fulfill my promise. Right. And that's what it says, you know, I was not known to them with the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, not to say that they weren't aware of that divine name, because we find throughout Sefer Bereishis, the Avos address God with the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, and God speaks to them with the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. It's just that the attribute that goes along with the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, I did not make known to them, because I made promises that I didn't fulfill. All right, so now is, you know, this is going to be the big one. With taking the Jews out from Egypt, I'm going to fulfill everything I promised the forefathers. And from now on, you're going to see this whole mode of conduct of that I fulfill. You know, if I promise good, it happens. And if I promise to punish, it happens. Okay? So, there's two questions over here. All right, the most obvious question is, yeah, we would, God forbid, suspect God of not fulfilling his promise. All right, God forbid. If you can't trust God, who can you trust? Like, what does it mean? You can trust me to pay reward. And that's like God's special name. Today, after all, the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is God's special name. And you could trust me. I mean, you would think that you could trust any upright person. So even though, you know, no one's, you know, any trustworthy person, his name is not Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, and yet you could trust him. Right? So God, you know, the Almighty One, you know, lacks nothing and is perfect. Why would you think you can't trust him? You have to show a special divine name. I thought, you know, it's just not understood what the question is. Like, even on your average upright human being, you don't want to suspect him of not fulfilling. And God, if not for the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, we would suspect he wouldn't fulfill. I mean, God forbid. I mean, it doesn't make sense. Because if you do, God forbid, suspect him, the fact that he says, well, my name is honest, it doesn't help anything. Right, this whole thing is just not understood. It's just not understood what's going on. It's not understood what the question is. It's not understood what the answer is. Not understood how you can even imagine not trusting God. Right? And it's not understood how saying, well, this is my name, answers that problem. Right? What the question is to begin with is not understood, and the answer is not understood either. Okay, but that's already on the most obvious level, but on a less obvious level, but to anyone who learns Chumash with Rashi, we'll see that, you know, as Rashi pointed out, all the promises made to the others were named with Kel Shakai. And indeed, you look up, you know, Avraham Avinu Parshas Lech gets a promise with the name Kel Shakai. Yaakov also gets promises with the name Kel Shakai. Right? Do you know what Rashi says over there in the name Chazal Kel Shakai means? Right. Kel means power. Shakai, that is to be learned like share, die. That is enough. I've got all the divine power that it takes. So this name of Kel Shaddai implies the power to deliver. So it's just the opposite of what we're learning here. As if, you know, I made those promises to Kel Shaddai because I didn't fulfill. But wait a minute, God, it was not for nothing that he made those promises with Kel Shaddai, right? Every time where, you know, Kel Shaddai is used in Bereishis, whether it's God making a promise to the others, or whether it's the others blessing someone else with the name Kel Shaddai, like Yaakov telling his children, the Kel Shaddai Tehu Rachmesh, and God, right? Kel Shaddai will give you mercy in the eyes of the man in, you know, in Yosef, who at the time was masquerading as an Egyptian prince. You know, God will, you know, make it that you'll find mercy in his eyes. So in all these places, all the places, Rashi says in the name of Chazal, right, that means God who has what it takes, right? So that's why I'm blessing you with this name, because God who's got Shaddai, he's got what it takes. He has enough power, he has enough blessing, he has enough divinity, right? So the name Kel Shaddai implies to, yes, fulfill the promise. He's got what it takes. He can deliver. Right? And over here, it's like we're learning as if Kel Shaddai doesn't imply it the same way as Yud-Kei-Vok, and you could trust him. And because that means he's got what it takes. Right? So the whole thing is just a mystery. It just boggles the mind. It needs to be understood. Right? So at least we've merited to understand that none of this is to be understood superficially, because we have explained it, and on a superficial level, none of this makes sense. Something much deeper is going on over here. Right? This is the depth of, you know, the revelation that's taking place through the Exodus, like we explained last week in our Drasha of Parsha Shmos, which is also an introduction to the whole Sefer Shmos. This is the book where God reveals his divinities. Right, we don't find any revealed miracles in the Chumash until this book. Right, revealed miracles, there are no revealed miracles in Sefer Bereishis. Right, we have in the oral law that there were certain miracles that happened, you know, in the Midrashim, but the fact that it's in the oral law, not in the Chumash, implies that only the Avos and only certain people are able to see it, just like the oral law is only for the Jewish people, but Chumash is visible to all mankind because it's a book. Anyone can pick it up and read it, and the Gentiles have taken the Bible and read it. So also the fact that the miracles that happen in Sefer Bereishis are only in the Midrashim, it's not in the written Chumash, implies that they were not open for everyone to see. Only those who had Ruach HaKodesh, those who had divine inspiration, were able to appreciate that there was a miracle there. Right? But over here we find the miracles in the Chumash, black on white, in the black and white of the Torah, that's power to the fact that it was black and white, that all of humanity saw these miracles. That's what, you know, God says in this parasha already, that even though power's ready to give in, no, but I have to do more miracles to show off my power, or that my name should be spoken throughout the earth, or that you should know there's none like Hashem. Right? Over here it's to God to openly demonstrate his divine name, i.e. the divine revelation, the revelation of his power, shall be revealed. Right? In Sefer Bereishis, divinity is not revealed. The Avos, you know, realized it, and they were real with it, but wasn't revealed to the global consciousness. And that's what gets accomplished in Sefer Shmos. Right? The Book of Names, if God's name is revealed throughout the earth. Right? But what wasn't revealed even to the others, right? They were aware, but they didn't see it. That's why, you know, they knew the name of Kilo, but they didn't see it. Like a whole other level of divine power. The name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, which is, like, as it were, the name of God, and that name represents the essence of the Torah. Right? It's like the essence of divine revelation, that all the other divine names are just like branches of that revelation. Right? But like the essential, like the revelation of the so to speak, essential power of God, the special power of God, we'll call it, because God's essence is in, you know, is even beyond the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, but like the very, very special power of God, that's like special, that's beyond all his other divine names, right, is what the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei represents. And this is what we're going to try to explain. It's a very deep concept. We'll do our best to explain it, right? When you talk about enough, right, I got what it takes. I mean, I could, there's a need, I can fill the need. You're talking measures, right? there's, let's say, as an example, there's a gallon missing. I have an extra gallon of gas. I could fill the need, right? You talk about filling the need. You're talking about quantifiable measures. They're very big measures, but still measures. And it's, you know, just filling the need, right? Oh, you don't need it anymore. You found it from somewhere else. So I don't have to give it to you anymore, right? Because it's just a matter of filling the need. And I've got what it takes to fill the need. Oh, you don't deserve it anymore? Or you mean you need it, but you don't deserve that I should help you, so I won't help you. Whenever you're talking about, I got what it takes, right? So even though it sounds very good, and vis-a-vis between man and his fellow man, that's the most you could hope for, right? That he can deliver. He really has the product that he's selling you, right? But it's just a matter of A, quantities, and B, it's purely, you know, if you need it, if you deserve it, right? It's very conditional. So it's only a quantifiable amount, even if it's a big quantity, but still a quantity. And it's filling the need, filling the promise. Oh, but it's true, I promised you. But it was under these and these and these understandings. You're not worthy of it anymore. You didn't keep your end of the bargain. Right? So like all of it, even though, yeah, I could fill the obligation, I've got what it takes to fill the obligation, but if the obligation is null and void, I don't have to fill it, right? Or if you don't need it anymore, right? So I don't have to do it, right? And even if I do it, you're only getting exactly what is needed and not more. So it's quantities and it's conditional. Right? And that's what the name Kel Shaddai represents. And that's what Hashem says in Sefer Bereishis. I was showing, yeah, I got what it takes. God didn't make any, God forbid, any vain promises, God forbid. He didn't say anything, he didn't plan not to keep, God forbid. Right? If you can't trust God, who can you trust? But God, you know, is the way he interacted with the Avos, with the patriarchs, and the way he interacted with the whole world was in a interaction of measure for measure. You need something, I can give you what you need. Right? Provided that, of course, you deserve it. Because even if you need it, but if you don't deserve it, I don't have to give it, right? And that was the whole interaction. And of course, in that framework, there could be a lot of promises that aren't fulfilled. Not because God's dishonest. That's not the point. God forbid. Right? God would never be dishonest. God forbid. Never, never. That's what he said. You don't even suspect your fellow man of being dishonest. Unless he has a particularly bad reputation. Your average person, you give the benefit of doubt. Certainly how much more so the perfect and almighty God. No, but the whole framework of Kel Shaddai is that, you know, if there's a need and you deserve it, God's got what it takes. Fine. And of course, you know, you don't need it or you don't deserve it, so God won't give you because either you don't need or you don't deserve, or both. Right? And that's how you could have a lot of, as it were, promises that don't come to fulfillment, not because God was dishonest, God, because you didn't need it anymore or you didn't deserve it anymore. Right? Right. But the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei represents God's pure infinite power. And now we're not talking quantities anymore, and we're not talking conditions anymore, because you're dealing with infinite power. And infinite power is beyond measure and is unconditional, because it's infinite. You know, something that's conditional, it's conditional on, so you're not talking infinite anymore. You're talking tit for tat. You deserve it, you get it. You're talking measure for measure, mida keneged mida. You're talking infinite power. You're talking about no quantity and no conditions. Right? That's an amazing thing. And when you think about it, right, that we get eternal and everlasting reward for a small mitzvah, what sense does that make? Right? You know, you shook a lulav, and you didn't even buy the lulav. You took it from your friend as a matana amenas lach, so he gave it to you on a gift on condition to return. Right? And if you shake lulav on Sukkot, you get eternal reward for that. Like, on the open job market, you know, I would be overpaying you if I gave you $5 to shake upon the Arba Minim in all different directions. For $5, that would be called paying you too much money for 2 minutes of work. Not even. It's a 1 minute, you know, less than 1 minute of work. You know, $5 would be too much. And yet we're getting everlasting reward. We have to understand, like, okay, it's true, we're working, but we're being very overpaid. Right? But you have to understand that the Torah comes in the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, and the response that you get from the Torah, for doing a mitzvah is infinite power. And that's what it means. I, Yudke Dovke, you could trust me to give you reward. That means a lot and unconditional. What does that mean? An amazing thing that, you know, we'll put it in more practical terms, an amazing chesed Rebbeinu does for us. Right? We do a lot of things right. We also, God forbid, do things wrong. Right? And what does God do? Right? So what does God do for us? Right? He doesn't say, all right, you've done a lot of bad things, so I don't have to give you eternal reward anymore. So you shook lulav, so you won't go to heaven because you did a lot of bad things. And I'll make sure that you'll find $5 in the street, and that's more than enough to pay you for shaking a palm branch and, you know, the other li and the esrog, you know, for 1 minute. $5 is more than enough because you don't deserve to go to heaven anyway because of all the bad things that you did. God doesn't treat us that way. God does an amazing thing for us, right? He says, I'm going to make sure you go to heaven. And I'm going to make sure you're going to get eternal reward for your mitzvahs. How am I going to do that? I'm going to make sure you get atonement for your sins. So as you get cleaned up, so you could be worthy to go to heaven and get your eternal reward. Right? God doesn't say we don't deserve eternal reward anymore because you don't deserve to be immortal anymore. So I'll just pay you off your mitzvahs in this world. God doesn't do that. God says, no, I will make sure that you will get eternal reward for your mitzvahs. So to do that, I'm going to make sure through complicated turns of events or going to Gehenna, either or, you know, that you get atonement so you could still go to heaven and still get eternal reward for your mitzvahs. Like, it's unconditional. The reward that God gives us for our mitzvahs, He promised us eternal reward because dealing with the in the framework of Torah triggers a reaction from the name Yudke Vavke, so it triggers infinite reward. Right? God doesn't pay us measure for measure. He says, work, do, you have to work, right? And you get a response per mitzvah, but you get an infinite response for a finite action. And now that infinite response, God guarantees it, that if you sin and become unworthy of that reward, so you know what He's going to do? He's going to clean you up and give you atonement so you could yet again be worthy to get that eternal and infinite reward. And it's amazing. And that's what it means. You can trust me. You can trust me to deliver, meaning trust me to deliver infinite reward, and it's unconditional. What is it? What do you mean trust? We mean trust over here on a very high level. Not trust that He won't break the agreement. God forbid, how can you suspect God breaking agreement? That's not what it means. It means trustworthy even if we break the agreement. We broke the agreement. And God has more than a very justifiable loophole, to say the least. You know, we rescinded the agreement, and we don't deserve to go to heaven. So what's going to happen to all those mitzvahs that we do? So God says, I'm going to give you that reward anyway. You can trust me, you're going to get it unconditionally. Now, of course, that there should be justice. So He does something which He doesn't have to, and that is He cleans us up. He gives us atonement to work it out, that we could become worthy of still be able to receive the eternal reward. Something which He doesn't have to do, but He wants to force it that we should get eternal reward. So not only do we get eternal reward, but He makes it unconditional. And if we fall from deserving it, He'll make us deserve it. He'll give us the atonement, so we will deserve it. It goes the other way also, right? There's no such thing, right, since Torah is of absolute power, so no sin gets overlooked either. Because, you know, Torah makes an absolute difference, so it works the other way also, that every sin has to be cleaned up. But as we've said, it's for our benefit. If you could trust me that I'm going to punish you for the sin, that's for our own good also. Because if He wouldn't punish for our sins, we'd be tainted, and we wouldn't be able to go to heaven, and we wouldn't be able to get the return of God says, I'm going to make sure to catch up with you for that sin and to punish you for sin, which will cleanse you from that sin. And that way you're guaranteed to get the full reward of your mitzvahs, and none of your mitzvahs will have to be paid off in this world. That's the power of the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. Right? And that's the special power of the Torah, that we say that the Torah comes from the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, and that's like called the power of God. And the Torah, you know, it taps in. You know, our living by the Torah gives us a connection of this, which is the power of God, infinite power and unconditional. And that's the whole relationship that there is between God and the Jewish people. It's of infinite power and unconditional. Look, as badly as we sinned to Him, He may have punished us greatly, but He never obliterated us, and He never exchanged us for another nation, and He never abandoned us. Now, He doesn't forgive us. I, he doesn't like let it ride, God forbid, because that wouldn't be for our good. Because if we let it ride, then we'd just be so tainted and dirty, we couldn't enjoy and have the possibility to have an intimacy with him. So he punishes us gradually and thoughtfully in a way that we can handle to clean us up. And that's so the love between God and the Jewish people is built on this name of Yud Kei Vav Kei, that we get eternal reward, and he protects us from our enemies with infinite power, and it's unconditional love, right, that even when we, meaning to say, that even when we don't deserve it, he doesn't let us go, and he will make us deserve it. He'll always take us back, and he'll clean us up so we can always be worthy, which is for our good. Keep us worthy, is otherwise we wouldn't be able to access it and enjoy it and appreciate it if we'd fall so far away from the level of appreciating. So God's, you know, relationship with us, that it's infinite and unconditional. That's the name of the Kei Vav Kei. That's what gets revealed over here. That God's got what it takes to fulfill a need, right? If you deserve it, that's Kel Shakai. And that's a tremendous thing. And that's as much as a person could conceivably deserve. Right? But God wants it to be built on his infinite power. And when it's built on his infinite power, you can't realize, so it's beyond measure, and it's unconditional, and it's eternal, and that's the special level that's being revealed from Parshas Va'era onwards, and that's the special level of the Torah, and the special bond that the Jewish people have with God, the name Yud Kei Vav Kei.